Welcome to Bravo Team, our second G.I. Joe show looking at all the secondary G.I. Joe material. I am your host, Aaron Moss, codenamed Brotherhead. On this show, I'll either be by myself or have other guest hosts joining me looking at all the G.I. Joe material out there. We'll be covering things like the toys, the Action Force comic, the European Missions comic, the movies, G.I. Joe Renegades, or anything else that is not G.I. Joe, a real American hero comic, or the 80s cartoon. Come, join us on our mission to stop Cobra from taking over the world. Yo, Joe! And welcome back to this episode of Bravo Team, my newest show looking at something G.I. Joe related. This month I've got an episode I've entitled Versus. Speaking of Versus, I've got two guests along with me this month. We have Mr. Pat Sampson, a.k.a. DJ Christatos. Hey, Pat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be on the Bravo Team.
Glad you could join us. And something I'm not quite so glad about. We also have with us Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist.
That is a prescription for danger.
Hey, Jared, how are you doing?
Hey, hang on. I'm out. I got out of the quicksand.
Finally.
Oh, God.
Quicker if you had some rope, but, you know, or if you shot that tree if you missiles.
I'm out. I'm tired, so you'll just do the show, and I'll say something witty every once in a while.
That'll be a first.
He's nuts.
Do you still need that rope?
Get the bleep machine ready. Fuck you, Pat.
So is that a no?
I get my strength back. I'll show you what it's all about.
I figured out the knot to use.
Yeah, you better not get in my way.
Quickly moving on, this episode of Bravo Team, as I mentioned, I'm calling Versus. It was an idea that someone had mentioned previously, and I decided to do a full episode on it. I'm going to mention different combinations and get your guys' opinions on which one you prefer the best. So let's go and get started with that. And again, I didn't let these guys know who's on this list, so it's going to be a first-time surprise for both of my guests.
All right.
My standard answer is Dr. Mindbender with his shirt off.
Mm-hmm. My standard answer is going to be Baroness with her shirt
off. Oh man, nothing I picked the wrong answer.
I just won the first round.
Yes. So the first round
are you
goes
sure?
to Jared.
Are you sure, Jared?
No, I guess I would have drawn our minus.
You can't escape me, Dr. Mindbender. Look at my pecs, Jared. Look at them.
Yes, for a dentist, he's very well pecked out. So our first versus, okay, our second, because I guess our first was Mindbender versus Baroness, and Baroness won hands down and top down. We have the old standard, Duke versus Flint. So let's go ahead and start with Pat. Duke versus Flint, which is your favorite Joe? And if you want to explain why, if you want to back up your...
Oh, boy, that's a...
That sounds like we're getting a preview of Jared's answer.
I'm going to go with Duke because he's, you know, OG, original Dukester, even though he gets in the cartoon, he gets in trouble a lot. But I'm going to go because he was a figure, one of the first earlier figures that I got before, you know, Flint was out. I had Duke, and Duke was the man that you used to play around and would boss everybody else around. So got to go with Duke.
Very good. And Jared, since the listening audience can't see what you're doing on Skype. Who's your pick out of Duke versus Flint?
I just finished a Flint drawing, which will be available at Heroes Con. You can find me there, Charlotte, North Carolina, June, Father's Day weekend. Anyway, to answer your question, Flint. I'm a Flint guy through and through. I always found Duke, when they first released him, to be just a little generic. I was just like, okay, he's got the tan shirt, green pants. I like the laser rifle, I guess, because you saw it on the cartoon, you know, so that was kind of a connection. But I'll admit my bias towards Flint is that Flint was the first, I believe he was the first, Torpedo, somebody check me on that. Anyway, I think Flint was the first warrant officer. And maybe later on they made Torpedo a warrant. I think initially he was enlisted, though. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm almost positive Flint initially was the first warrant officer. My father was a warrant officer, so I remember going with my mother to the store to buy this for my dad, because Flint came out right about the same time as my dad graduated warrant officer candidate school and became a warrant officer. So we bought it for him. So it just had a lot of meaning to me. And I love his design. Like I said, I literally did just finish drawing him. I love the beret, and I love the double strap of like shotgun shells that he rocks. So I like the character design, and it reminds me of my dad. So that's my answer. I'm going Flint.
Who do you guys think is more by the book, though? Flint or Duke?
I think
if there was a guy that, you know, would be kind of the, you know, I'm going to do it my way, or, you know,
I think Duke's that guy.
Yeah.
I think Flint's a little bit more lighthearted, but I base that on nothing.
Okay.
No, I agree that Duke is more by the book. Flint's a little more does what he wants. And I think so.
I mean, CoverGirl's into him.
Yeah.
That should tell you something right there.
Well, Scarlet likes Duke in the cartoon.
Scarlet likes Snake Eyes and only Snake Eyes.
And Duke's always getting the ladies wherever before he gets captured.
Captured, yeah. As we've discovered, he might have a relationship with Baroness, and that's why he's always getting captured.
I must save Duke.
Oh, Duke, and, you are in my dungeon again.
Actually, it's Lady J that has a thing for Flint, not CoverGirl.
Oh, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. Why do I feel like... Who was CoverGirl? Because CoverGirl's
got a thing for Duke. That's why.
Does she? Did I get those back mixed up? I can't remember who CoverGirl's her interest was. I could have sworn it was Flint, but now that you mention it, definitely was Lady J.
Show, didn't CoverGirl and Shipwreck have something at one point?
I think Shipwreck and Dr. Mindbender had something.
I think that was later on. Oh, that got really quick.
No, you're right. No, yeah, definitely was more Lady J. Did they explore that in the cartoon as well as the comic?
Yeah, no, in the cartoon, they had something going on too.
Oh, okay. So yeah, how I mixed that up in my head, I will never know.
In fact, on some of my live tweets when I've been watching the show at 2:30 in the morning on Discovery Family, I made several comments that I think that and again, it's something I was going to ask you about. I think that Flint making time with Lady J may be a conflict of interest, or that may be frowned upon in the military.
Yeah, that's called fraternization. You're not supposed to have a relationship with anybody under you in your command. And in general, officers aren't supposed to have relationships with enlisted, and he is an officer. So, yeah, you're right. He's a bad boy.
Whenever I see that, yeah, they kind of, well, it's something there does. I don't think that's right.
I'll tell you some fun stories about that when we're done officially recording.
And yeah, I was looking online, and yeah, look, as far as the official status, yeah, Flint's not the only one that shows up as a warrant officer.
Yeah, I thought at some point they might have made Torpedo warrant officer later in his career, but at much like the CoverGirl thing, I might have made that up in my head.
I think Wild Bill may have been was chief warrant officer for.
That would make sense. Most helicopter pilots, I don't know about most, but a good amount of helicopter pilots are warrant officers. So that makes total sense.
He's an Army Chief Warrant Officer, CW4.
CW4, yeah.
Which to me is completely Greek, so.
Well, Flint's a W1. He's an initial warrant officer. And then you get W2, W3, W4, and it tops out at W5 they added later on. My dad retired out as a W4, so yeah, I got you.
There you go.
Cool. Cool.
Okay, and my answer to that question is I'm going to side with Peppy Pat and say Duke.
This show is horseshit.
Just because, and again, maybe because, yes, he's the one of the original characters, even though he wasn't the original character. And, but yeah, he's more of a by the rules kind of guy, kind of like me a little bit. And, I don't know, just Duke, you know, he's a ladies' man. He's got, you know, Scarlet, he's got that, I forget her name, that hot chick in the beginning show when he got captured the very first time in the slave pits.
Oh, right,
pits.
Right. Slave girl, yeah.
There was a couple other times, yeah, he had some of the girls falling for him. So, yeah, Duke would be my pick.
You know, I tell you what, I'll give it to you for, I believe the original way to get him was Mail Away. Yes. And Mail Away Mystique has a special mystique to it, so that does make him special. I will give you that too.
Okay, let's go move on to the next one I have here. The next one is, well, we talked about Duke versus Flint, so let's go for the opposite side, Scarlet versus Lady J. Jared, which is your pick? Scarlet versus Lady J?
I'm going Scarlet. I like Scarlet from day one. Don't tell my dark-headed Puerto Rican wife, but I have a thing for redheads. she don't need to know this.
Don't leave.
A second.
Don't
leave.
No. First of all, why do you have her number? This is getting weird.
I wasn't supposed to give that number out.
This has gone off the rails. No, I just always liked Scarlet. I liked her relationship with Snake Eyes. I like how they made her a martial arts expert as well. She's no nonsense. She was running with the boys from day one. I got nothing against Lady J, but I just prefer, when I was a kid, I liked playing with the Scarlet figure more so than the Lady J.
I'm sure you did. What do you think? Scarlet versus Lady J?
I'm going to go with Scarlet, but I like Lady J too. Her and Flint's got that same kind of an attitude where they're, you know, kind of a rebel without a cause, or, you know, they got that, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So she's got that exciting. It's like putting up Betty and Veronica. Which one do you want?
Yes.
You know?
I use you, Betty.
Yeah. Lady J's a little more Veronica. Scarlet's the Betty, but not in a good way. You know, she can hold her own. She can flip you over her shoulder anytime. And yeah, I'm going to go with Scarlet.
And it looks like it's a total round around Scarlet, because that's who I choose also. Again, Lady J, yeah, again, like Jared said, she's nothing wrong with her.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, no, I would have to, I think Scarlet is the better choice.
You know, I would throw them a rope to get them out of the quicksand.
Unlike Jared. my next one is Cobra versus G.I. Joe.
Okay, that's pretty broad.
It is. It's rather broad. Just general organization. Which one do you personally prefer better? Either because of the characters in there, the whatever context you want. That's why I said I want to leave this a little open for you guys. I'll let you guys think about it for a minute, and I'll give my answer right now. And then you guys can go. Out of Cobra versus G.I. Joe, I would have to go with Cobra. Even though they're more inept, they usually are a little more colorful. They are, like I say, their entire top tier, you know, weird costumes and weird personalities. I like Cobra a little better than G.I. Joe.
What's their 401k plan like?
Not that great. G.I. Joe's got a better 401k plan. And yeah, I say if I had to work for one of them, I'd rather work for G.I. Joe, because I wouldn't want to work for Cobra, because yeah, Cobra Commander can be a bit of a nut job.
Does anyone, either one of them have like special days during the cafeterias? Like a Taco Tuesday
does.
Or?
G.I. Joe has Taco Tuesdays. Cobra has Snake Wednesdays. I don't understand that one, but, you know. So Pat, which would you prefer? Cobra versus G.I. Joe?
I think based off of, you know, the 401k and the cafeteria plan, I'm going to go with G.I. Joe. I think they offer me a better career opportunity, and I think it's somewhere that I can see myself growing in. Well, someday I wish to have a really cool costume, but right now I'll stick with just the green fatigues.
And yeah, if you don't have a cool costume to start with, yeah, you're not going to get very far in Cobra, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just be one of the normal, Cobra, you know, blue shirts there.
Yes. Jared.
It's hard to pit them because, you know, sometimes you get some really cool stuff on the Cobra side. Sometimes you got really cool stuff on the Joe side. And
honestly, one of the main reasons I pick Cobra is I'd like to fly a trouble bubble, but that's my
own. Yeah, that'd be cool.
The trouble bubble. Jared, Cobra versus G.I. Joe, which is your choice?
If I was going to serve in one of them, I would prefer to serve in Cobra. I've been in the United States military. I've had that experience. I've worn the green fatigues. And knowing what I know about Cobra, I feel like I could rocket through those ranks and run that whole dang thing in no time flat. I mean, what's my competition? Major Blood? Has he ever won a battle anywhere, ever? Destro, he's got his stuff together. Destro would I could probably rise to about a Destro level, but Scrap Iron, Wild Weasel, these are incompetent fools that I could just outpace no problem without even trying. So I feel like I could rise much higher, at least to the Destro level, if not be the commander himself.
Ooh.
Very nice. Okay, my next one is, which do you prefer better? I think I know the answer to this, but let's go and ask it anyways. Which do you prefer better? The cartoon.
Scarlet.
No, we're yet to that.
Dr. Mindbender, put the shirt off.
The cartoon versus the comic. Jared, let's go start with you.
Yeah, I think I made this point on an earlier Bravo Team episode. For me, the pecking order actually goes toys, then comics, then cartoon. So I'm a toys guy first and foremost, but I definitely like the comic better than the cartoon.
And Pat?
Definitely the comic book, but the toys would be the middle cartoon. Yeah, I watched it as growing up as a kid, but now that through these rewatches, they're all right. There's some nostalgia to it, but definitely as far as comics go, I do love the miniseries. So the different miniseries, I love those.
Oh, the cartoon series?
Yeah, the cartoon series. Yeah, I love those five-parters.
Yeah,
I could watch those all the time, you know, because they got a decent story going on and you know what's going to happen, you know, but that's where it gets kind of comic booky to me. But otherwise, I'm going to go with the comic. How about you, Aaron?
And I've always said, I got started on G.I. Joe from the cartoon. I watched the cartoon years before I read the comic. Mm-hmm. But having said that, yeah, I'm going to have to go with the comic. Like I said, I love the cartoon because it's what got me started into G.I. Joe. And it's, as we talked about on earlier shows and over on G.I. Joe, the Royal American Headcast, it's got its own little thing going on. It's got, you know, a bunch of different writers on it, so it can't be as good as the comic. But it holds a special place in my heart. But yeah, the comic written by Larry Hama was just magnificent. It still is. Mm-hmm. Larry's able, you know, gives backstories to all these characters. He's able to do justice when he has to introduce a dozen new characters in an issue. He does a great job of giving everyone their own voice, a personality, and a lot of their own backstories. Like we're covering the Snake Eyes origin. It's fantastic. So yes, I must say the comic book. And I keep getting distracted by Jared looking through his G.I. Joe comic. It's very nice.
I can't help but look through this thing, man. It's so much fun.
I know.
It's very nice. I'm like, Okay, our next one. Again, this one's going to be more directed at Pat, I think. Oh, Dr. Venom versus Dr. Mindbender.
Ooh. Boy.
The Mad Cobra Scientist. Which one do you prefer better, Pat?
Well, boy. I go with Dr. Venom just because I think he was more down to earth kind of a guy. So to say, he, you know, knew what he wanted to do, wasn't going to take it from anybody and do what he needs to do to get it done. Dr. Mindbender, you get a little crazy Dr. Mindbender. I enjoy him because of his craziness. But Dr. Venom, definitely.
And Jared.
No, Crystal Ball. And that's why. All right. Sticking to the rules at hand. I'm going to go with Dr. Mindbender just because, again, first love is figures, and Dr. Venom didn't get one.
Yeah, that's true.
So that I kind of forgotten about Dr. Venom until we went back and did the rereads for this podcast. I vaguely remembered him, but Dr. Mindbender, drop of the hat, I got it because I had the figure.
You think they're really doctors?
Well, Mindbender is because he
was a dentist. Yeah. DDS.
Doctor? I don't know. Maybe not then.
Do you think he would, when he was, put you down in the chair and put the gas on you, you know, hey, do you mind if I take off my shirt?
Had a shirt off.
I think it was already off. Yeah, exactly.
You had your hand there that you're holding? That's how he answered when you walked into the office. That's how he looked. He's not dressing up for Cobra. That's how he looked at the time. I'm sure he didn't probably have a very, very big client base, but you know, mom hits your kid in there. I'm not coming back to this place again. That guy's weird. But yeah, as far as me versus Venom versus Mindbender, while Mindbender, I was introduced to him first. He had the toy. He was in the cartoon. He was in the comic. I would have to say Dr. Venom. He wasn't as insane. Like Pat said, he did have his head on his shoulders. He knew what he wanted to do. And I'm going to go for Dr. Venom. He was
shirted.
He was running around showing his pecs. He was confident.
No, he kept his lab coat on.
Chest, and so he didn't need to show it off to everybody.
And he would betray anyone at the drop of a hat. Uh-huh.
Yes, he would.
Let me rephrase that. He would betray everyone.
He did betray everyone at the drop of a hat.
He did betray.
In fact, I'm reading the current G.I. Joe Real American Hero series, and he does play a part in the current series also for those. Yes.
Dr. Venom?
Haven't been reading.
I thought I'd seen that.
He does
play
a part in current stories. We'll leave that there.
I don't know how they bring him back, but
we'll get to it eventually. sure it's going to be 20 years down the road, but we'll get to it. So my next one, the best nemesis of Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes versus Spirit. Jared.
Snake Eyes. I don't have to justify myself to you. Pat. I like Spirit. I don't think he's a good fit. Not nearly as good as Snake Eye.
Oh, I got to go with Snake Eyes all the way. I have nothing against Spirit. He's a cool guy. I think he was a little more active in the cartoon than he was in the comic book.
Yeah. That...
Well, he could talk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in the cartoon, they did. That's why I pit these two up against each other, because, yeah, they did pair Storm Shadow against Spirits in the. In fact, yeah, thinking about it, Snake Eye's got the shaft in the cartoon, because in the comic, he had Scarlet as love interest, Storm Shadow as his nemesis. In the cartoon, they gave him both way to other people. But I agree with both you guys, Snake Eyes, well, Spirits, he's a fine character in both the comic and the cartoon. Yes, I much prefer Snake Eyes in Storm Shadow. And again, because as we talked about, the comic had more time to flesh these things out, but I do like that they were to flesh out and give more backstories for both of them and tie them together so closely. I think that may be part of the reason why I think they work so well. If the cartoon spent a little more time giving a backstory between the two of them, tying Spirit and Storm Shadow together, or giving them some sort of conflict, it may have changed. But yeah, the way they did it, Snake Eyes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my next versus the best Cobra leader, Cobra Commander versus Serpentor. Pat.
Ooh.
Or do you need a minute to think about it?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed Serpentor.
Serpentor.
Serpentor,
yep. I really like Serpentor. Just the craziness about him, how he's the makeup of all these different weird, crazy leaders and people like that in history really kind of interests me on that, you know. And so I think he could have, you know, he could be somebody just if he wasn't super crazy. But I do love me some Cobra Commander, too.
Speaking of super crazy, Jared. It's tough. What is your choice?
I think I'm going to go with Serpentor as well.
All right. Woo.
Again, I'm a figures guy, and I was most excited to get Serpentor.
Cool figure.
Over Cobra Commander. And as I read the stories, he just seems like a better leader than Cobra Commander. He definitely seems that way in the cartoons. I mean, the cartoons, Cobra Commander is just an absolute bumble foxtrot, we'll say. So I don't know. I just like I like the design of his costume. Like Pat said, I like his genetic design. Like they made him this great military leader. So yeah, Serpentor, man. What do you got?
I love Cobra Commander. He was the first. He was both in the comic. He was better, of course. But I am going to agree with both you guys. Serpentor is the better leader. He's not. While he is crazy, he's not quite as crazy as Cobra Commander, I don't think. He doesn't have quite the fits of rage, though he does have them. But yeah, I think again, like Pat said, he's a melding of all these military geniuses and powers, and just he's just a great character. And like Jared said, it's a great figure. So yeah, I'm going to go for Serpentor also. My next one for you guys is, which is the better look for Cobra Commander? The helmet that he started out with, the hood, or the battle armor from later on? Jared, do you have any thoughts on this?
I do have thoughts. Again, my love is of the toys. I already told you that I thought mail-aways were special, so I always had hooded Cobra Commander as a special place in my heart. In fact, someone on Twitter put that on a poll today, and I voted for hooded Cobra Commander over battle armor, and they had it called Chrome Dome. But yes, ultimately, I'm a hooded Very Cobra nice. Commander guy. I'm sure there's no jokes we could make about that.
None at all.
Pat, do you like it hooded, unhooded? Steely tip head
rip for her pleasure. No, sorry,
I'm gonna stop.
Sorry, I too. Anyways, Pat, what are your thoughts?
Oh boy, it's a tough one, because I like the look of the Fred Cobra Commander, right? That costume, that one, and then, but you gotta, I gotta go in the end, I gotta give it to the hooded. Just right. Because it's classic, you know. Anybody that put on a hood like that and rock it,
they're not,
you know, they mean business. They're out to do something.
I'm gonna ask a
Yeah.
I want to ask a trivia question to you masters here. In the comic, how does he first appear? Is he chromed up?
Maybe he's got the
chrome. His first appearance in issue 1, or is he hooded? Because I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's the chrome look.
I certainly could remember. I thought you guys might know off the top of your head.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's a good question.
Probably is, since that was the first wave of figures.
While we're talking, I'm scrolling through the comic, and I was wrong. It's actually the hood. Yeah, they show a picture of him. They show the only known form, Cobra Commander. He's got the hood on.
Woo-hoo!
And
wow.
Then you get to Cobra Island. He's wearing the hood.
Yeah, because you have to think. You have to think when he started out, he was just, you know, with that the pyramid, that three-dimensional scheme that he was going on.
Three-dimensional triangle.
Yeah, three-dimensional triangle
scheme
that he had going on.
So that was his first look in the actual comic, but he also...
That's right.
That same issue, he does put on the mask, so he wears them both. So his first look is in the hood, but then later on he is wearing the chrome dome.
Oh, okay. I remember we talked about that on our podcast, Pat, about they said this is the only known picture of him, and it looks like a damn glamour shot. Like it wasn't even... It wasn't even like through a bush or anything. It was just like a portrait, like straight up posing.
Like he went to the mall and got the pictures at the glamour shots, yeah.
In his full splendor.
Smiles, Mr. Commander. I am. You just can't see me.
Yes, as far as my answer, I have a special love for the battle armor because that's what got me into the comics, which led my addiction. But because again, that was the first comic I picked up, and that's what led me into where I'm at now. But for me, I agree with both you guys. Again, always the hood. I think the hood's just a great look for him. In the comic, he didn't wear the armor for about a minute. In the cartoon, he wore it longer eventually. But yeah, it's the hood's the look for me. I enjoy the Cobra Commander hood. I wish they would have done that in the movies. Maybe at some point we'll still get that. But yeah, hood all the way. Taking a look at another rivalry here, the best person for Scarlet, Duke versus Snake Eyes, Pat.
Oh, well, I guess that's a no-brainer right there. I'd give it to Snake Eyes. Yeah, he's got some problems.
Who doesn't?
But I think that's what, you know, she completes him. She completes
Jared,
him.
Jared, which is your choice?
The correct mate for Scarlet is Captain Jared C. Albrecht, United States Air Force.
Once again, that wasn't one of the answers. Please stick to the script.
All right, Snake Eyes. Yeah, I like I said earlier, Snake Eyes. I got mad when I saw the movie. I'm like, what? No, I get mad every time in the cartoon. That's Snake Eyes' girl, man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
As I've said Snake before, Eyes. I got started first with the cartoon, so to me, Duke was with Scarlet. But having said that, once I started reading the comic, yeah, Snake Eyes is the better choice. Even though. Yeah, I'm used to Duke being with her. I much prefer Snake Eyes as her love interest from the comic. And again, I think part of the reason was because Larry had more of a chance to go in more in depth and was able to do more with it. But like you said, Snake Eyes has his problems, but you know, who doesn't? You know, when you get hit in the face of aviation fumes and lose your voice, you know, you're going to have issues. Your mother and father and twin sister die while you're coming back from Vietnam. You're going to have issues. But you know what? Like I think Jared said, Scarlet completes them.
Yep.
You said something about the movie. Let's go ahead and go to that. Which do you think was the better G.I. Joe movie? The Rise of Cobra or Retaliation? Jared, let's start with you this time.
The second one, which I believe was Retaliation. I liked it. I liked it better. I'm already a fan of Ray Stevenson, and Firefly is my favorite Cobra villain, so that was a 1-2 punch that I enjoyed. It just seemed a little more fun. I saw both movies with my son. He liked the second one better. I missed Channing Tatum as Duke. You know, he was hardly in the second one. I like him as an actor, so I kind of miss his character, but it was kind of fun to focus on a different character. No, I just think he's one of those actors that I wanted to not like. I was like, oh, he's a pretty boy. And then you see him in those Jump Street movies and he just owns me. He's so damn funny and entertaining. But I do like the way it kind of set a precedent for the second movie to focus more on Roadblock. And that way you could kind of keep the franchise going and kind of change the focus of each character. Right. You know, plus add Bruce Willis. So I liked the second one better, but not by a huge margin, but I just liked it better.
And Pat, what about you?
I'm going to go with the second movie as well, too. Definitely more action, and they opened it up a lot better, more than two, and you know, it's got Bruce Willis in it.
And once again, it looks like it's a clean sweep. I love Retaliation. I thought it was more comic booky, if you will, more G.I. Joey. While I do not care for Channing Tatum, I didn't think he's a wooden actor. I don't like him. I'm glad when they killed him off.
Did you watch those Jump Street movies?
I watched part of the first one. I just, I grew up watching the Jump Street TV series, and I don't like when they take a serious show.
I got
and turn comedy.
Okay, I got no ties to this TV series, so I could see where if you wouldn't love it. I get it.
I just don't care for him as an actor. But you see, beyond that, I heard things from the producers or directors of the first one. They said they want to keep it more realistic. But yet, some of the things they did in there made me wonder. And just the second one, Cobra Commander actually had his uniform on, his mask, the Chrome Dome.
Mm.
Zartan was great in there. Like I said, Firefly was fantastic. I like Ray Stevenson. His Firefly was fantastic.
Jonathan Pryce as Zartan, as the president, was excellent.
Yeah, Zartan. I love Zartan in there. Suck it, Brad. I just thought I love that scene where, Cobra takes over the White House and they're unfurling the Cobra flags in front of the White House. And I thought it was much more of a true G.I. Joe movie than the first one was. You get Snake Eyes and Jinx, and it's fantastic. I didn't care that much for Rise of Cobra. But yeah, Retaliation I loved. So looks like that's the big winner this time. My next one is, the last two is that I've got two more left, and they're both headquarters type questions. The first one is the Pit versus the G.I. Joe headquarters in the cartoon versus the mobile headquarters. So you got three choices on that one. The Pit, the G.I. Joe headquarters, which we see in the cartoon, or the mobile headquarters, that big brown Jawa-looking vehicle. Jared, do you have any thoughts on this one?
I'm going to go with the battle platform. Once again, going off script. That was actually my favorite toy.
I forgot about that.
But forced to pick from the script, I would say the Pit. I love the – that goes back actually to not necessarily – I think we talked about this. I don't know that they made a Pit toy, but it goes back to the comic book when you get that, like that first issue and those first couple issues where they do cutaways and you got to understand the Pit. So I'm going with the Pit, and I'll pass the pipe to Pat.
Go pass the pipe to Pat. Keep the pipes away from Pat.
All right. I love Bravo Team. A little more laid back on the side. All right. I am going to go. I'm going to go with the Pit. The same reason as Jared, as you get the cutaway and just how awesome that place must be. I kind of like the mobile thing as well, too. The big mobile base, I may remember later on in the issues. They kind of go to that one for a little while, I believe. And then the normal, toy command center, the cartoon command center. I think, I could see that as being the Pit, but like the top of it, and then you have all the Pit underneath it. So, yeah. Long way about, I'm going with the Pit.
And I also am going for the Pit. So I grew up on the cartoon with that headquarters. But, something about the Pit I just love. And when they rebuild it later on after it gets destroyed, spoilers for future episodes. I just think the Pit's very enjoyable. I like the fact that it's hidden underneath the ground. I do like the episode we talked here a while back where they built the headquarters and shoved it up out of the Pit to make someone... Cobra went to destroy their headquarters. They thought they did. I thought that was fantastic. But, yeah, I got to go for the Pit. Mm-hmm. And also, yesterday when I was up – or I did this yesterday, but I posted it later. I asked on our G.I. Joe Royal American Headcast Facebook group, which was a favorite out of those three. And so far, 8 people have said the Pit. 2 have said the headquarters from the cartoon. And 1, Mr. Hal Jordan, has picked the mobile command base.
You stand on your own 2 feet, Hal Jordan. I respect that.
so far the Pit's winning on my poll. So
very cool.
And the final question I have for you guys is...
Oh, boy.
The best Cobra place, Springfield versus Cobra Island.
Oh, man.
The last one I have, I will throw in a third option of if you guys have a better choice, throw it out there. But what do you think is the better... Cobra location. And again, for me too, this was also a tough one to pick. Pat.
I'm going to go with Cobra Island. I just think that's a pretty cool place. they were able to make it their own little fun Cobra Iron land. That way it could be the way they wanted it to be. Especially then when having the invasion and the war on Cobra Island, I thought that was really cool.
Jared, Springville.
Sit back and let me tell you a story.
Yes. I'm sitting back in my lap. Go ahead. Tell me a story, Dad.
Okay. My last duty assignment in the Air Force, I worked in a, I gotta be careful here. I worked in an interesting job and, chock full of military secrets. And one of my main job was evaluations. I was to make sure that everybody in the unit was prepared. You know, they got their training. They had a training guy. My job was to go in after they were trained and make sure they were trained properly. Because what we did was important. And so part of my job was setting up scenarios. And you can set up scenarios any way you want, you know, to accomplish our mission in this conflict. And a lot of places will just be lazy and choose like, oh, let's pretend we're going to conflict with, you know, North Korea or China or Russia. You know, a lot of those plans are already on the shelf. So I wrote my own plan. I created my own battle plan. And guess where my battle plan had us attacking?
Springfield.
Cobra Island.
Oh.
I set up an elaborate scenario, and that was our drill session, and everybody was very excited to do it because it was something they hadn't seen before. I had developed the economy of Cobra Island, the military structure of Cobra Island, the whole thing. And so, you gentlemen, I want you to just rest assured that at some point in the real life, honest to goodness military, we battle planned for Cobra Island. And I think that would make you happy to know.
Very
that.
Nice, yes.
So, but my answer is Springfield. No, I'm just kidding. Let's go, Brian.
as I said, this was a tough one for me. That's why I left for the last. Because, yeah, I do love the hidden thing of Springfield. It's in plain sight.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Underground. Yes, that is cool. You know, ordinary people, part of Cobra. But I've got to go. I think Cobra Island edges it out just barely. Again, it's its own sovereign nation. It's... They had the Cobra battle there. It was just, I thought they did more with it, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the Cobra Island. Like I say, they're both good choices, though. But yeah, Cobra Island is my choice.
I tell you, if I hadn't wargamed Cobra Island like I did, I probably would have gone to Springfield. But since it's such a big part of my personal history.
I'd like to see, what would be really cool to do? And hopefully he's listening. I think Brad, that what I would like to see him do a Cobra Island attack with his miniature figures that he does. Brad Williams,
Oh, Bradford Williams. Yeah.
Bradford Williams, yeah.
Down in Australia. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Brad, and I was like, I didn't know.
Oh, no,
Brad.
Yeah.
Brad. Not sexy Jared 2.0. Bradford Williams, I assume you know who he is, Aaron. He makes the mini.
Yeah, I was. Those are.
Makes some amazing stuff. Yeah,
he does the gaming. And
he needs to make like a Springfield and a Cobra. Load them up.
Yeah, that'd be very nice. I'm just thinking about that. That'd be interesting. I'd like that.
Anybody listening to the show who hasn't checked out Bradford William and he makes his miniatures using like 3D printers and all kinds of stuff, like tiny. We're talking, tiny versions of Cobra and Joe vehicles, and they look amazing. Oh,
sweet. Yeah. I wish you could buy them from him.
I know. I keep asking if I could buy it from him. He keeps turning me down. Try to give somebody some money.
You should be turned down by now. I mean, But anyways, those.
Hang on. I'm going to be sad for a little bit. Hang on a second.
We'll play some Incredible Hulk Lonely Man.
Yes. Thank you. You get me, man. You get me.
I do. So those are what I had. Unless you guys have anything you want to throw in there, do you guys have anything that you want to any verses offhand that you can think of?
I'll do one.
All right, what you got?
I'm gonna call it Later Kung Fu People.
Okay.
Quick Kick or Jinx. We'll start with Judging by Your Face. I think it looks like Aaron has a better lock on this. Pat might just be sleepy
time. I'm going to have to go with Jinx, partly because of Mel Shepard's pig and I like looking at women, but plus she's tied more to the snake eyes, and that builds on that mythology.
So, okay. Yeah,
that's what I'm going to go with is, I'm going to go with Jinx.
Yeah.
Okay, I like Quick Kick. I think he's a pretty cool guy. So I think either one could take care of themselves.
Oh, most definitely.
I think, yeah. I think the Quick Kick in the comics, you know, a little different than, of course, the Quick Kick in the cartoon.
Quick Kick in the cartoon is about awesome as awesome can get.
Yeah.
You're talking about me, partner? Man, we can be left in the snow and just, you know.
I'm standing in the snow, yeah, with just my shoes, no shoes on.
No shirt.
He's like such a smart ass.
Yeah, no, Quick Kick is a great character, but yeah, I do. I like Jinx a little better just because she ties more into the whole Arashkini mythology and Snake Eyes and that whole thing.
Yeah, and again, I'm a figures guy, and while I really like both figures, there's just something special about Jinx. I think it was maybe because she was a girl, and girl figures were fewer and farther between, perhaps. But I just always was like, to me, it was always like a almost like a rare figure, like, oh, you've got Jinx, you know? And everybody had Quick Kick, you know, but fewer people had Jinx. So that's I think that's the appeal for me. Anyway, that was mine.
All right, do you have anything you want to add, Pat?
Well, and just thinking of a quick verse here, it would be
Torpedo versus Wetsuit.
Yeah. No, the Devil's Due series.
Yes, go on.
Compared versus the, we'll say versus the original series.
Ooh, man. I know what y'all are going to say, but it's tighter for me than it is for you two. Because I love the Devil Do series. I do. You know,
when they tried to change things up and they did the, and that's what, when they were doing like Origins as well, right. Too. You know, a little different take on the series.
Yeah, they were both good. But yeah, like I think Jared's already guessed. Yeah, I'm going to have to go for the Real American Hero, the classic book, just because it's. It's the original. It's Larry Hama.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think he did a great job with what he was working with, the deadlines, the throwing all these new characters at him. So, yeah, that's mine, is the Real American Hero, the original story.
All right. Jared?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to throw everybody a curveball and say a Devil's Due, and I will explain myself. I was very young. You guys are older than me. Remember this. Not by much, but older. I was very young when these originals came out. And so to me, they were just like, oh, that's cool. But again, I was a toys guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I really got into comics, late 90s, early 2000s, here comes Devil's Due. And Pat, you'll probably understand this. And Aaron, you might. I don't know how much of a James Bond fan you are. But to me, the old Joes were like watching, you know, let's say Thunderball or The Spy Who Loved Me. Really good stuff. And then the Devil's Due was like that GoldenEye, that there was a big gap, and then GoldenEye came and just blew me away.
Yep,
and Devil's Due did the same thing for me. Just particular things that stand out to me is I love how they told the backstory of what everybody was doing while G.I. Joe was kind of on hiatus. And like Duke was doing black op missions into crazy, like I got a newfound respect for Duke because he was doing some dark stuff. And I just really love how they expanded everything. I know it's probably heresy on the show. It's not a huge I love Devil's Due huge gap between that and the originals. Like totally respect Larry Helm on the source material. But at the end of the day, I'm just more familiar with and have a little more love for Devil's Due. But it's really close.
Very good.
Yeah, there's no problem enjoying that series. In fact, we may cover that on Bravo Team at some point. Because yeah, it wasn't a bad series. I saw, you know, G.I. Joe went away. Then they had the G.I. Joe, Extreme G.I. Joe, or G.I. Joe Extreme. Sigma 6, and all these other.
Yeah,
this isn't G.I. Joe. This isn't what I want. And then they came out with the one that you're talking, the Devil's Due series. And while it wasn't a continuation of what Larry was doing, it was good. I really enjoyed that for what it was. I just enjoyed when they brought the American Hero series back, I enjoyed that more just because, again, it's a continuation of what I read when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know the IDW had that newer G.I. Joe series, in my opinion, had horrible artwork. I just couldn't get into. But the Devil's Due, yeah, nothing at all wrong with loving that series. That was a great series on its own.
Yeah, I think that was Josh Blaylock is the name that springs to mind.
You're correct.
And he obviously had a love like we do.
Yeah.
He had a love for it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm glad. Yeah. Thanks for not stringing me up on that, but it's really.
No. That's why I kind of threw that question out there.
Good question,
Pat. That was a good question.
You know, the artwork in that was really nice in the beginning, you know, the beginning artwork in that. And, you know, the stories they were telling were somewhat, you know, it's just kind of that twisted little alternate universe there, even though it had some of that background of Real American Hero. And then kind of went and said, well, here we're going to take this to a different storyline here. And that's what I kind of liked about it.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, like Aaron said, just the other stuff that came before that, it was.
And they did that spinoff series, Frontline, was good.
Yeah.
It was a good time. It was a good revival. Like it was, like I said, to me, it feels like the GoldenEye, if I'm using the James Bond metaphor, of the Joe franchise. You're
totally right on that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, think about that would be, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like I say, if I didn't have the Real American Hero series, I would much rather have that than the other series that IDW is pinning out. Because, yeah, that was a great, like Pat said, some great art was in that. Great storytelling. Like I said, some things were a little twisted, a little different than what we got from American Hero. But, yeah, it wasn't so far out of the extreme. Extreme! So, well, unless you guys have anything else. I appreciate you guys talking with me and playing along tonight.
Sure. Had a good time.
I thought we had more here, so I thought, you know, I thought it'd take longer to do this. But yeah, we actually got through a pretty quick time. You know, I think we only had the three of us, but yeah, it was great. I enjoy having all you guys on. I enjoy talking with G.I. Joe, the more the better. But sometimes these smaller, intimate shows can be a little better. We can get into more things, get things done a little quicker. But, well, unless you guys have anything else, I guess we're going to call this a wrap. Before we go, Pat, why don't you tell the folks out there where they can find you on the inner tubes?
Well, Aaron, I'm glad you asked. You can find me on the Twitter at ChrisTatos01. You can also find me on the Longbox Crusade podcast, where we do several different podcasts, including Crusader Chronicles, where we're going through my comic book collection. We're in the 1977, almost closing that year out. Yeah. Then you can also find me on Saturday Matinee Theater with Jared, Jason, and Delvin as well, where we're going through the Flash old-time serial along with Sherlock Holmes from 1954. And you can also find me and Delvin on the Transformers Chronicles, where we're going through the Marvel series of Transformers comics.
Love those shows, especially that Transformers one. That's something I consider doing in the future, but now that you guys are doing it, I don't have to. I can just sit back and enjoy listening to you guys talk. Jared, if people want to hear more about you on the inner tubes, where can they go?
Check out Yard Sale Artists. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. They're all Yard Sale Artists. Usually my pinned tweet or post or whatever, my pinned item, you will usually have my next appearance at any comic book convention if you want to come check out my wares. I also do some podcasts on the Longbox Crusade Network. I do Action Film Face Off with my brother Jason, where we pit two randomly selected action films against each other in our Video Dome Arena, discuss them, and have a little fun. And if you're into James Bond, check out On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, where Pat, Delvin, Jason, and I talk James Bond.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Definitely recommend all those shows. And again, for more from me, you can always catch me on the Headcast Network. You can go to headspeaks.com and click on the Headcast link. Each show has their own individual page. I've got my Head Speaks, which is where I talk about whatever comic or TV show or whatever I feel like talking about. I'm at the end of my Armageddon 2001 look, where I'm looking at the Armageddon 2001 books, the crossover from DC Comics. After that, I might probably go back over and look at the Power of the Atom series, just because I love the Atom.
Cool.
You can find me here monthly on G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, where me and the guys talk about, you know, G.I. Joe, both the comic book and the cartoon. You can also find me on the Task Force X, where I talk about the Suicide Squad and Checkmate comics from the late 80s, early 90s. And the last Tuesday of the month, or the fourth Tuesday, is the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, where I'm looking at the Will Payton Starman and the Mark Shaw Manhunter comics, again, from the late 80s, early 90s. I've got my era I like. In fact, as I've said before, I'm coming up to the end of the Mark Shaw Manhunter book. I'm debating what I'm going to do next. Either look at just the Will Payton Starman comics, or maybe start looking at the Kate Shaw Manhunter that came next. I couldn't really get in that book when it first came out, partly because I'd missed the Mark Shaw Manhunter, but I may look at that. I haven't decided yet. And then also the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have this show here, Bravo Team. And then if you're up early in the mornings, I've been, while I'm on swing shift at the IRS, I get home at 1 o'clock, about 2:30 in the morning. And then also at 3 o'clock, there's usually one or two episodes of G.I. Joe, of Real American Hero. I'm on Twitter at G.I. Joe Headcast, and I'm live tweeting my thoughts on those. So if you guys are up that early, again, that's Pacific time. It's 2:30, and then usually there's a second episode at 3. Feel free to join me and throw your thoughts in there. But that's where you can find me at. But that's been this episode of Bravo Team. Once again, Pat, Jared, thank you guys both very much for joining me. I always love these discussions I have with you guys. I love watching our yard sale artist do his drawings while we're talking. And again, that is
it's
a beautiful book you got there for G.I. Joe, that trade paperback.
Get those complete collection hardbacks, people.
There's only 9 of them. Well, Jared said before, you can find them relatively cheap for the most part. I don't want to start looking for them. But again, I think I have an addiction. But that's another story entirely. That's for me and my
therapist. I know I do.
It's for me and my therapist. In fact,
I went from finding out about them to owning them all in about 2 weeks.
Speaking of addiction, I've talked in the past. I used to own most of the G.I. Joe toys. I sold them when I moved out of my mom's house to make room and because I needed money to live. I've discovered eBay. Okay, rediscovered eBay. And I've been slowly picking up figures on eBay. I've been scourging my local thrift shops and secondhand shops. I've only found one place that actually has any G.I. Joe stuff. But it's not so much a thrift shop. It's a guy that has he's got several of the vehicles are like 40, 30 bucks a piece. He's got a few figures in there. I'm going to probably pick a couple of the vehicles up. But, yeah, I'm getting back into the toys. So, help.
Well, your old buddy, the yard sale artist, will keep an eye out for you at the yard sales.
Need help?
Mainly because I find a bunch of old Star Wars stuff and I don't give it to Pat. I feel like if I find Joe stuff and I give it to you, it'll make it worse for Pat.
Yes.
I would love that.
It'd be my Sky Striker.
I would love to get G.I. Joe toys and stick it to Pat. I mean,
win-win.
But thank you guys very much. I guess that'll do it for this month.
Guess who's going in the sand pit now, huh? Quicksand.
Oh, no, man.
Not again.
Guess who's going back.
Well, I guess until next month. Joes, we're dismissed.
Go, Joe.
Thank you for listening to Bravo Team, a supplementary G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast show. Be sure to check out our main show, the second Tuesday of the month, G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, where I talk about the G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero comic book series written by Larry Hama and the G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Check out our Facebook page. Just search for G.I. Joe, a Real American Headcast, under both Facebook and over on Twitter. We're also over on Google+. Be sure to rate us and to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And be sure to write in and let us know how we're doing. We love hearing from fans. You can write to us at bravoteam@headspeaks.com. You can also send an MP3 file in. It will play that on the air. You can send that to bravoteam@headspeaks.com. And be sure to check out my other great shows on the Headcast Network, Headspeaks, Task Force X, and the Starman Manhunter Adventure Hour, plus possibly more in the future. Also, be sure to check out the podcasts of my co-hosts. They have some great shows. And if you want to appear on this show, definitely let me know. I'm always up to speaking to new people. You can send me a Facebook message, or you can send us an email to bravoteam@headspeaks.com. Be sure to check out our website. The main site is at headspeaks.com, but you can check out the website for this show at gijoe.headspeaks.com. Be sure to join us here monthly for another great podcast. Until next time, Joe's dismissed.
I actually like Kurilov better than most people, by the way.
That's a silly concept, but I do have a soft spot for it.
Again, I'm a figures guy, and those figures were so different and interesting. I was like, "What?" When I first saw them, I was like, "What is this?"
Yeah.
Remember, too, I was living in Germany. Movie hadn't hit us yet, but the figures had.
Okay.
So I'm like, "What in sweet hell is this?" And it's so awesome and different.
See, as far as origins, I prefer the comic book, the used car salesman lost his family, and family left him, and he started up Cobra. But, yeah, there's something about Cobra Law. While it is, and as my good friend Buzz Dixon, we talked about, Cobra Law was just a placeholder for a name, but then the higher-ups heard it and liked it, and so they told him to keep it. I do enjoy Cobra Law. It gives me, I enjoy Cobra Law. I think it's great. I don't believe in guilty pleasures. If I enjoy something, I enjoy it. But if I had a guilty pleasure, it would probably be Cobra Law. Because
since I'm making this longer than it is already, I revealed tonight my favorite Cobra is Firefly. What's yours, Pat? And then Aaron. Even though we're not doing a show, I just want to know.
Favorite Cobra?
Yeah. Is it Mindbender?
No. Yeah. Favorite Cobra. I like Sepantor.
Hell yeah, Sepantor.
You know. Favorite Cobra, leader, and then Destro's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
Firefly's cool too, yeah.
Firefly's always been my favorite, ever since I stole him from Net Shed.
Yeah. Are you talking figure-wise, or just...
I guess overall.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Firefly's my favorite figure, he's my favorite villain. I love the look of him, I love his design.
If I could start collecting the toys, the figures again, I would.
Yeah, right now I've bought some.
Hey, start yard sale.
I bought some on eBay. I've got a bunch of the 2008 figures when they redid them. I've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 figures, and a Trouble Bubble, and the OG motorcycle you were talking about that they did in 2008 when they redid the line. I think those all for like $50.
Yo, Joe.
Let's play a fun game that Pat loves called Let's Look at Jared's Art Collection.
It's a fun game.
That's a cool. Beachhead's my favorite, Joe.
Right on.
That's by Brian Shearer. Yeah. And I went in here to find a Firefly I wanted to show you.
My favorite Cobra, I'm going to have to go with Cobra Commander.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and cartoon is very whiny, but I just love Cobra Commander. I think he's a great character.
That's a cool picture of Shipwreck.
Yeah, I like that Shipwreck a lot.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
It's very nice.
This is an art friend of mine named Paul, I think it's pronounced Gori, G-O-R-I. He's on Twitter, and he's always doing stuff like this and putting them on sale, so I bought that whole bundle.
Oh, very nice. Is that Road Pig?
Paul.
That's very nice.
Road Pig, yep. I had a Firefly in here I wanted to show y'all, but maybe it's in Larry Hama. Oh. Drew me a beachhead.
Very nice.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Oh, that's a good Shipwreck.
This is
the actual original pencils from the Snake Eyes miniseries.
Yeah, I can't make it out.
It's probably hard to see because it's really light.
Yeah, I can't make it out.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the cover of issue 1 of the miniseries. That's the original pencils.
Very nice. That is a good
Shipwreck. That Shipwreck is dope.
Where's that Shipwreck?
You got some art?
Where's that pitch that Shipwreck from?
Some dude did it named Rapmund at San Diego Comic-Con in 14. I bought it off the guy who bought it from him.
Oh, I like the background on that. It's like the old cards and...
Yeah, the background is dope.
Very nice.
I actually did one like that. A buddy of mine got a commission from another buddy of mine of Lady Snake Eyes, and I did the color work, and I did that same thing on the background.
Very nice.
For the lady. I can't find that. I wanted to show you a cool Firefly, but I can't find it. I suck again. Oh, well.
Yo, Joe.
Well, Aaron, I'm glad you asked.
Hey, wait. I want a Sonic drink.
Hey, yeah. What is that?
I want a Sonic drink. Don't close the door.
She can't hear you guys. They're like, I want to video camera. They're like, I want a Sonic drink. Hey, don't close the door. Nope. Yes, my wife brought me a Sonic root beer.
She doesn't find it funny.
She's getting thirsty too. Damn. Oh.
Anyways, as I was saying, Pat, if people want to hear more about you on the inner tubes, where can they find you?
Yo, Joe.